Salaf used to use their mind both for memorization and in terms of understanding at the point of acquiring knowledge. Now the Shaykh mentions an amazing story here from Abu Isa at-Tirmidhi. Now this is a comparison between the minds of that time and the minds of this time. And we have to try and understand why is the difference. Why is the difference between the minds of the Sahaba and the scholars of Hadith and our minds today? What are the reasons why there's a great difference? So here Imam Abu Isa at-Tirmidhi, it is mentioned about him that he actually wrote from a sheikh 2 volumes of Hadith. And then he happened to meet him on a journey. He met the sheikh from whom he wrote 2 volumes of Hadith. He happened to meet him on a journey. So he said to the sheikh, he said, "Oh sheikh, can you read to me those Hadith that you narrated to me, the 2 volumes of Hadith?" And he had with him what appeared to be 2 volumes. At-Tirmidhi this is. Right? So he's saying to a sheikh, "Read to me the Hadith which you read to me before." And with him were some papers, were some volumes. And so his sheikh thought that he has with him 2 written volumes. But the volumes were empty, there was nothing in the volumes. Blank paper. Right? So he requests from his sheikh to read back to him. So the sheikh began to recite, read all the Hadith, like 2 volumes worth of Hadith, to read him back to him. And when the sheikh finished, he then looked at these papers that are with at-Tirmidhi, and he finds that they are just blank. There's nothing in these papers. So he was thinking all along that he's going to test to see, you know, but there's nothing in the papers. So now he says to at-Tirmidhi, "You know, are you not ashamed? You are asking me to recite to you, making me think that you have 2 volumes with you, and there's nothing with you at all?" So at-Tirmidhi said, so I then told him my story. I said, "Actually, I've memorized them all. I memorized everything that you said the first time round." And so he said, "Okay then, read them to me then." So at-Tirmidhi began to read all of the Ahadith, read every single Hadith one by one. Remember, 2 volumes of Hadiths. Every single Hadith with the Isnad, one by one. And he did not make a mistake in a single letter. Not a single letter. So the Shaykh said to him, "Ah, well, actually, you knew you were going to meet me, so you just memorized them before you came." And so the Shaykh said, "You know, you just wanted to show me that you were a Hafiz. So you memorized them before you came, and obviously it's easy for you." So at-Tirmidhi said, "Okay, read to me some other Hadith besides them." So the Shaykh then began to recite 40 Hadiths with the Isnad. So immediately afterwards, after hearing those 40 Hadith, at-Tirmidhi recited back to him the 40 Hadith without making a mistake in a single letter. And this, you know, amazed him that he heard them in the same sitting and repeated them in the same sitting exactly as he heard them without making a single mistake. Then we have the example of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. When you read Majmu' al-Fatawa, and he's asked a question, so he says, "Su'ila Shaykh al-Islam," da-da-da-da-da-da. Then you start reading the answer, and the answer goes for 10 pages, then it goes for 20 pages, then it goes for 30 pages. And as you're reading, you see, first of all, he's bringing ayat from the Qur'an, ahadith from the Sunnah, statements of the Salaf verbatim. And you're thinking, the Shaykh actually, he must have sat and he must have authored this, and thought about this, and authored this answer. But the reality is that he was writing the answer while the person is sat there in front of him and writing it all down. And then at the end of it, he writes, "Well, this is what we can say in brief. And if we were to expand in detail, it would require some further elaboration. But this is what we write in brief." And he's written 30, 40, 50 pages, 60 pages, 70 pages. All from the top of his head. Ayat from the Quran, a hadith from the Sunnah, statements of the Salaf, verbatim. He's quoting from books, verbatim, and he's actually right to the letter. So, you can see how is it that these scholars are able to recall knowledge, what is it that they are doing? They are using their minds. They are using their minds that they are able at the time of acquisition to understand that knowledge and to put that knowledge in their mind somehow so it stays in there. Now obviously, the minds of that time, look, our minds, what do we have? We have so many distractions, preoccupations, we have devices in our hands, we are staring at computers, we are all over the place, right? Our minds cannot be the same as the minds of those people. And this is why we should be very, very aware of the effect of modern technology, modern devices, modern lifestyles upon the ability of a man to concentrate. Do you know that once Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he sat in the house of Imam Ahmad on a night, and while sitting there, he extracted 1,000 points of benefit from a single hadith. I don't recall the hadith now. But he extracted, just by sitting and reflecting, 1,000 points of benefit from a single hadith. That shows the ability to concentrate and to keep the mind focused upon something. Nowadays, you sit for 5 minutes. Now this is the YouTube generation and the social media generation producing people who can't maintain their concentration upon something for 2 minutes. 2 minutes. You read something and by the time you've got to the middle of the page, that's it. You can't keep the concentration. This is the danger of technology. And so my advice to you would be that be careful of this danger, because it will impact you, it will impact your children in a very negative way. This is the danger of technology. There are two sides to technology. There is a beneficial aspect, no doubt. We don't deny there's a beneficial aspect. Rapid communication, check on your family, keep in touch when you're traveling. These are practical things which you can use technology for. Likewise, you know, that you can download lectures and whatever else. But there's also another side where you are deceived into thinking that you are doing something of benefit, which appears to be beneficial, but in the long term it's not benefiting you at all. You're sitting there just all day just retweeting this, retweeting that, doing this, doing that, social media, WhatsApping this, whatever, little benefits. To be honest, you don't remember benefits through devices. You remember benefits when you sit at a book, you have a pen, you read, you make notes, you rewrite them, this is what sticks in your mind. This is proven scientifically as well. They tell you that when you read something, for example, on Kindle or a device or an iPad and you're reading, that reading is not the same as reading a physical book. This is scientifically proven that you will not retain the same as when you read an actual book. And this we know from experience as well. A person can experience this as well. So do not be deceived by the lure of technology. Stick to the standard traditional means of acquiring knowledge. Use your mind. Implement your mind. Right? This is something that we have lost because of the circumstances of our lives and technology and so on and so forth. And you don't find this. You find people who are gifted naturally. They are gifted and they develop an amazing memory, whatever else. These are very, very rare. But in those days, it was normal amongst the people of hadith to be able to memorize a hadith and to repeat something immediately after they've heard it. Now this ability is lost. This is how knowledge used to be taught.